This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, T. Shao Ik, and Shamela Gunnison. Today is the International Day of People with Disabilities. So for today's story, we're going to look at the theme, which is this year's theme, which is Not All Disabilities Are Visible. And then after that, we're going to discuss the Olympics for Abilities or Abolympics, something very interesting.
Yes. So on that note of people living with disabilities that are invisible, we are asking you on Twitter whether you are aware of anyone in your life who is living with a hidden disability. Do tell us your experiences, share your communications with them perhaps. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, and the reason we're talking about that is I think we're really trying to dispel the stereotypes, really break through the stereotype of somebody with a disability. You know, when you think about the term disabilities, you probably, and understandably, immediately have an image of someone in a wheelchair or with a physical and obvious impairment that's generally usually related to that person's mobility. Now, these are visible disabilities, but as we said, you know, not all disabilities are visible. And that's what this year's International Day of People with Disabilities is trying to get at. The aim of the theme this year is to spread awareness and understanding of disabilities that are not immediately apparent. And there are a lot of them. Mm. There are a lot of such conditions.
So just to, go through some of those, you know, hidden disabilities include mental health disorders like depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders. Mm. It can also include chronic pain, chronic fatigue, sight or hearing impairments, which may not always be immediately apparent. Then they can also include things like brain injuries, neurological disorders, learning differences, cognitive dysfunctions. So if you think of, let's say, people on the autism spectrum or people who have dyslexia.
Right.
And then this even includes conditions like HIV and diabetes. And that actually surprised me when I found out as well, because the fact is that these conditions are chronic. They are unpredictable. They fluctuate and they have needs that need to be controlled by medication. So all of these can impact your ability to function in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. And with some of them, you may be wondering, you know, why is it considered a disability? Right? It's just a condition that we live in. When you talk about disabilities, you think about a person being impaired in their function. But yes, when you really, sift through all of it, you realize that these, they do present permanent disabilities that affect a person's daily living. Even though you don't see visible aids being used, like canes or wheelchairs or people using sign language. And the fact is that these are conditions, these are disabilities that have to be managed through medication or some sort of behavioral therapy, perhaps, in order for that person to have some sort of quality of life. But I think the most central element of it is that because of this condition, that person is in some kind of physical or emotional pain.
Yeah.
And because the disability is hidden, what their struggle, the challenges that they're going through are often hidden as well. And I found this really nice list of challenges that people with hidden disabilities face. It was put up on the website for the of the Center on Disability Studies of the University of Hawaii, interestingly. But among the points that they listed out was that people with hidden disabilities may not know that they have a disability. They may not regard themselves as having one. So therefore, they may not know what they need, or perhaps they are unable to articulate it. And thus, because of that, their needs may be ignored, and they probably struggle with a lot of challenges, a lot of opportunities that may be denied to them, or a lot of things that they are not able to access because everything is hidden. Everything that they're going through is invisible to us.
Yeah. And the thing is, people with these conditions, they do require support. They require our understanding. They require our acceptance from people around them, from society at large. And if we don't spot these challenges that they're experiencing, we may not be able to understand what they're going through. Many times, I think people may not believe that they genuinely need help. The fact that they might be undergoing treatment, they might have to take time off work. They might have to make adjustments to their daily routines, to their activities. So in a BBC Work Life article, for instance, they talk about how a British actor living with epilepsy actually really struggled to talk about how her condition could disrupt her work. You know, people didn't understand that overexertion and lack of sleep could actually lead to her having seizures.
Yeah.
And these are things that many people take for granted when it comes to work, mm-hmm. right? And she was just afraid to say, I need to sleep. So she would say that she had the flu.
Yeah, I can imagine how difficult it would be to say, look, I can't say work overtime or have this kind of punishing schedule because I need to sleep. People are just going to think you're lazy.
Yes. And you know, to be honest, even though I know people who have epilepsy, until I had read this article, I didn't even think in my head to put it in the same category as having a hidden disability.
Yeah. And then the importance of recognizing hidden disabilities is also linked to the person themselves. Many of them face some sort of internal stigma. They, if they do recognize that their condition is hindering them from being able to achieve a lot of things, they may not want to acknowledge that it's a disability because it comes with that label. It comes with the risk of being discriminated against at work, in their social lives. Mm. And I think this presents a double whammy for people who are living with conditions that already have another level of stigma, right? If you think about HIV or mental health illnesses. And I think for many, you know, if you think about conditions like chronic pain or chronic fatigue, they probably have to so-called like prove that their condition is painful or disabling. And how do you prove something like that?
Yeah, I had a friend who posted about this on Facebook a couple of years ago, I believe, where she was saying that she was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, but that she was just constantly told by people in her life, don't be lazy, or you just need sleep, or, you know, you can do it if you push through.
Yes.
And imagine being told that and knowing that it's not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing that we don't think about, on the flip side is the fact that when it comes to people with disabilities is their abilities, you know, to be able to look beyond the disabilities and to focus on their strengths, the skills that they might have. Or their talents.
Which I'm sure they have many.
Yes. And since International Day of People with Disabilities is a special time to celebrate the achievements and contributions of people with disabilities, we thought that it would be interesting to look at a special event called the Abelympics. Mm. So the Abelympics 2021 will be held in Moscow in Russia on the 26th of May. So if you've never heard of the Abelympics before, you know, imagine an Olympics, but for things like cooking or photography or computer programming. And so to find out more, let's hear from Abelympics Malaysia Committee Chairman, Datin Paduka Khatijah Sulaiman. Datin Paduka Khatijah is also the president of the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation, and that's the NGO that's coordinating Abelympics in Malaysia. Thank you for joining us, Datin Paduka. Can you first explain to us what the Abelympics are?
Well, Abelympics originates from the phrase Abelympics of Abilities. It is an international vocational skills competition for persons with disabilities, which first began in Tokyo, Japan, 1981. So that's a different because most people really do not know what is Abilympic. They know of Olympics, but it is Abilympics, right? So, of course, involved skill categories. For example, we do have cooking, photography, sewing, web page design, word processing, embroidery, painting, computer assembly, and many others, around 30 categories. And of course, we have our own aims, is to elevate the desire of persons with disabilities for vocational independence and improve their vocational skills. Secondly, enhance public understanding on the vocational abilities of persons with disabilities and their participation in social economic activities. Thirdly, support full participation of persons with disabilities in society, with special focus on their employment promotions. Fourthly, promote international exchange and friendship among participants. Ensure the involvement of the respective governments in the improvement of vocational skills and promotion of employment of persons with disabilities. Therefore, we will showcase the potential capabilities of persons with disabilities that they have skills on par with normal persons, and therefore encourages a surge in employment opportunities for them.
So how are the Abilympics different from the Paralympics?
Yes, Paralympics focus on sports, whereas Abilympics is on vocational skills. As I mentioned earlier, different types of skills like cooking, sewing, embroidery, painting, and all that is skills.
So, Datin Paduka, how has Malaysia done in previous Abilympics?
Yeah, we have done pretty well, even though we sent small delegation when it was introduced in Malaysia in 1985. We went in with the first participation in Perth, Australia. We managed to get 2 bronze medals and 2 special awards. And after that, we managed to participate in other Abilympics in various countries, in which we managed to have 7 bronze medals, 2 gold medals, 2 silver medals, and 5 special and excellent awards. So it's very competitive, but so far we managed.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And how large a delegation are we sending for this for the 2021 Abilympics in Russia next year?
Yeah, for next year, we are going for 15 categories. And hopefully in the future will be more, because it's not that easy, because we have to go through the country for such competitions among the person with disabilities. And then from the state level, we go to the central level, that is a national competition. And there, the finalists will be registered for the international competitions.
And what is the role of the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation in this context?
Right. Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation is a non-government organization, but nevertheless, we have all the relevant organizations who are involved in rehabilitation for persons with disabilities. It means that the National Body for the Deaf, National Body for the Blind, Autism, all those involved, and even the Association of Therapists, they are members of Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation. So we have a network, and of course, Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation will then organize certain events. And of course, we do organize conferences at the regional, national, regional, and international level to enable all members and persons with disabilities in Malaysia to participate and to enhance their skills and also in education amongst the members in Malaysia and, of course, in participating in overseas.
So do people with disabilities in Malaysia have enough support and access to training so that they can develop their vocational skills?
Yes, there are 2 ways. Of course, the government is doing their part also by establishing vocational schools and also training centres. Mm-hmm. But the non-government bodies, the NGOs are also in doing so by having training programs for their members in focus categories. For example, the blind do have their vocational training programs, the deaf the learning disabilities, and of course, mental health also. So we all do our part in order that nobody is left behind. And of course, vocational skills, very, very important, so that they are able to interact in the society and also for themselves.
Datin Paduka, what have been some additional challenges posed by the pandemic and the MCO to people living with disabilities?
Yes, I mean, there are many challenges faced. For example, the person with disabilities, they are able to participate in their usual activities, but because of the MCO, they are not able to meet their friends, and they are not able to have people visiting them, and they aren't able to go out and to feel that. And of course, the impact is that they feel lonely. It affects them psychologically because they're so used to having visitors. And of course, for the children, especially the autistic children, they need to have that kind of freedom to be outside their home. So you can imagine that if they are in their homes and not able to have that kind of freedom, it will be a great impact on them and also their families. And of course, the person with disabilities have to take extra safety and precautionary measures because it is for their own safety. And therefore, for the blind person, it may be a little bit difficult in the sense that they need to touch certain objects to obtain information or physical support. This is a little bit difficult because rubbing their hands together after touching certain objects. So this is something that they have to put up with. And of course, 30-40% of people with disability also have lost their jobs globally due to the pandemic. And of course, the loss of income, they are also unable to live independently as they used to. And of course, the government is taking some measures to make sure that they are able to sustain their livelihood. But still, funds are very low, especially for disabled organizations, because for us, we have to seek donations for funding. And of course, at this time, people are not able to do so as in the past. So these are some of the challenges that we face. And of course, some of the companies who are employing persons with disabilities, they also have to make sure that they're not able. For example, in the hotel industry, most of my ex-students are not able to do so in full-time jobs. They are now doing part-time. And so we hope things will be better.
And speaking of the government's assistance for those who have been financially impacted by the pandemic, you know, can you tell us more? Was there anything specific that directly supports the community of people with disabilities?
Right. I think, you know, some of them, for persons with disabilities, they also have to more or less learn new technology, in the sense that businesses online. So these are something that they have to venture into. And of course, a certain age should be more or less helping them in acquiring equipment. For example, if they're good in cooking, baking, so this to enable them to have equipment so that they can do so and have businesses from their homes. So it's a lot of things that they have to modified in order to cope with the present times. So I think some of the companies are coming forward also in asking whether the person with disabilities who are going to start businesses, whether they need some equipment. So I think this is a good move by the corporate bodies so that they can carry on and have their livelihood. They can increase or even can enhance their income.
So before we let you go, Datin Paduka, do you have a final message to share with us in conjunction with the International Day of People with Disabilities?
Right. The International Day, Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation, is going to share with all friends and members of the public that we are preparing our Abilimpians to go next year for the International Abilimpics competition. This is something that we would like everybody to know that we are ready for 3 years now. Next year will be the fourth year of preparation, that these young people are ready to present Malaysia in their respective skills. And of course, you know, we need that kind of moral support, and hopefully that they can do very well. And of course, they are presenting Malaysia. So we will give them all the blessings, and hopefully that more good fortunes to come by so that they will be able to meet with all the challenges in Malaysia and also overseas.
Thank you, Datin Paduka. That was Datin Paduka Khatija, President of the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation and Abilimpics Malaysia Committee Chairman. So because today is the International Day of People with Disabilities, we are asking you on Twitter whether you are aware of anyone in your life who's living with a hidden disability, because this year's theme is Not All Disabilities Are Visible. So you can actually tweet us, tell us your experiences. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And we did have a WhatsApp from Nini, who says, I'm visually impaired after a craniotomy. So Nini, if you're listening, we'd love to hear back from you and tell us, you know, what your interactions have been with people. If you'd like to share with us, we'd be happy to hear it. But the rest of you as well, you know, are you actually aware that this is, you know, that there may be people around you who are living with hidden disabilities? We'd like to know your experiences.
And what, if you are living with a hidden disability yourself, what would you like people to know about your own challenges and your needs? And I think the two areas of disabilities that we've discussed today, you know, hidden disabilities and also the idea of a competition that encourages and gives people with disabilities the opportunity to shine and to develop their vocational skills, is a way of showing that it's really important to just look beyond a person's disability. And I'm just looking at the Abilimpics in Malaysia's website, and you know, just the page where they show current Abilimpians, and it's just such a nice variety of their interests and their professions, actually. And these are professions for them. You know, people with hearing impairments who are doing well in photography, web design, dressmaking, people with learning disabilities who are in the restaurant services, in the F&B industry. And it's not just about, it's not a shallow conversation about their hobbies. These are actually, these are livelihoods, and these are ways that they contribute to the economy and society.
Yeah, and I think the thing is also, I like the fact that it's different from the Paralympics, because the Paralympics highlights sporting achievements, which is, of course, very important. But this also focuses on skills or skills or abilities that are different from just sports, you know, things that you can put to practice in real life, and achievements that maybe to us might not seem like achievements, but actually are in many ways.
I think dressmaking is a great achievement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I remember that Malaysia has athletes who've done really well in the Paralympics.
Yes.
And I remember how rousing it was when we got news of how well they did. And I hope that we can give the same prominence to this Abolympics now, you know, because there's really not enough awareness about it. And if you'd like, you can follow them on Facebook. It's at Abolympics Malaysia. We're going to be putting the link in our podcast description later, or you can visit the website at mcrmalaysia.org/Abolympics Malaysia. You know, follow their progress, give them some moral support when the next one comes around next year. And it also helps to increase awareness among the community of people with disabilities to try out in the next, they can go through the national level first before they can be eligible to compete at the international level. And there's a really nice little passage that I saw in the Abolympics Australia website, where they said that the Abolympics isn't just about competition. It brings attention to the quality of work offered by persons with disabilities, you know, preparing, participation and the challenges involved gives our competitors a constructive way to improve their vocational skills. And this is a benefit that lasts forever, confirming an active role in society.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? The idea of the stigma of having the term disability applied to you, and how when you live with a hidden disability, because it's not immediately apparent, you might not necessarily want to use that term. And I do feel like these sorts of initiatives, the Abolympics and all, it highlights their achievements in a way that makes that normalizes the use of the term.
Yeah.
And hopefully then allows people who are living with hidden disabilities to use the term as a way not to minimize themselves, but to access the kind of support and encouragement that they might need.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what equity is all about. It's not about giving you a free ride. It's just about leveling the playing field so that people with different abilities and people with different levels of access can all have have the same access, basically.
Yeah. So speaking of access, Nini did get back to us. So she said she was visually impaired after a craniotomy, and so she goes on to say, life is made easier with devices, which may not be cheap though. They have speak assist, voiceovers, and the color inverts, which are so helpful. So again, as you said, just making things more accessible and usable for people so that they can access the same information and operate in the world the way the rest of us do.
Our discussion today on hidden disabilities has really just reminded me to be more mindful. I think when somebody within our environment says that, you know, they are struggling with something and they need, say, a break, they need time off, they need the time and space to be able to manage that problem, I think it's incumbent on us to also think how they are struggling and what we can do to help, even though it's not immediately obvious.
Yeah, and I suppose there's more conversation about this in terms of workplaces, making work, how do I put this? Making shared goals the priority rather than that everybody needs to work the same way. Because sometimes I think the way you work may differ depending on your own abilities.
But you, in your own different path, you can arrive at the
Absolutely.
Same outcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's all the time that we have for today's show.
So glad that Nini is so kindly sharing her experiences with us. So she did reply to say, some people are kind, but others are mean, but I'm used to it now because it's coming up to 9 years. And I think that's actually quite a poignant tone to end it on, because I think that it kind of wraps up all the stuff that we've been talking about, the fact that there still is so far to go for us to understand what people experience.
Yeah, and I hope you encounter more kind people than the mean ones.
I hope so.
All right. Do continue to share your thoughts with us. You can still WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're also on Facebook. Look us up on BFM The Bigger Picture to drop us a message there. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. Download our BFM app as well to listen to our podcasts. And you can also find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news is Front Row. Walk me through this, Shamila. We'll be playing some podcasts from the Georgetown.
So the Georgetown Literary
Festival.
You're going
to do a better job explaining this.
Well, just because I felt like it requires a lot of context. The Georgetown Literary Festival went virtual this year, so they've basically been doing a series of podcasts, which they've kindly shared with us as well. So you might have heard some on By the Book already, and Front Row will be playing a few as well over the next couple of weeks. So today we have a discussion with a German poet, and her name is Leah Schneider. The name of the podcast is What Remains of the Light, and they're going to be talking about poetry and translations.
All right, so stay tuned for that. That's after the 3 o'clock news. Here's some music to take you out with We Are the Champions by Queen, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.